We'll go ahead and jump into it. Hello, my name is Jordan Higgins. I'm the creative director at a company called Bytecubed. We are a recent graduate of the HoloLens Agency Readiness Program. But first, let me tell you a little bit about where we came from, how we got in, you know, we approached the program. Our company specializes in doing innovative technology consulting for for government, for industry, traditionally a lot of predictive analytics, business intelligence, custom enterprise application software development. When we got our hands on a HoloLens, we were excited. We were thrilled. We saw a lot of potential for the type of things that our customers do to really change the day-to-day operations in just, you know, so many possible ways. But it was really new to us, too, like especially on the design side. We did have a very strong lead developer with a lot of game development and Unity experience, which really helped us get up and running quickly. But on the design side, what we're going to talk about a little bit here is how we made that transition and, you know, got up and running and became a partner pretty quickly. As part of the agency readiness program, one of our first challenges was to find a proof of concept partner, someone to develop a concept application for. And we wanted to find one that would deliver real business value, that would really take some sort of business process and turn it into something measurable and significant. We approached the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. And for people who might not be familiar with them, they are the lead agency responsible for geospatial intelligence and analysis. They provide support to a broad range of customers, all the way up to the president, you know, through Department of Defense, the rest of the federal government, and also to public safety. One of the reasons why we approach them is that they have a very strong culture of innovation. They have a dedicated innovation office. They invest heavily in trying to find new ways to visualize data and to draw meaning from it. And along with that, they also have extensive experience working with 3D assets. This is something that we found that when going out there to find, you know, good business use cases for it, you want to find the customers that kind of have both those things aligned together. They also have unique mission needs that really align well with some of the benefits of the HoloLens. They definitely benefit from being able to visualize geospatial data at scale rather than getting it off of sort of a screen or a printed page. And the analysts that work with this data primarily, first and foremost, are visual storytellers. They take this data and they turn it into meaningful stuff for the people they need to communicate to. And mixed reality makes a lot of sense as a storytelling medium for them. And finally, they have people all over the world. The ability to collaborate remotely was a strong use case. So we brainstormed, you know, looking for ideas, and there really were tons of them. The one that we ended up going with was whenever there is an event of national security significance, it's deemed an NSSE, National Special Security Event, and they involve multiple agencies, usually across the local, state, and federal level, and it requires a lot of collaboration. We thought this seemed like a really good opportunity. As you can see here, they're actually used to doing things like building full-scale sort of representative maps and doing trainings and simulations based off that data. Particularly when we saw this image, this is where we're like, okay, this is a great use case for mixed reality. But in particular, when we got into the envisioning phase, we sat down, we started to explore the problem. We realized that the actual physical product that gets sent out is a printed book of maps that, you know, it has some challenges with it. By the time it gets printed, it can sometimes be out of date. When people work with them individually, those updates aren't shared across the board. And ultimately, the real value of it comes from the support of an analyst who's an expert who can answer complex questions and is familiar with the problem set and the data and can help people stay on the same page. So we asked ourselves, what if we replaced that printed book of maps with a shared holographic experience? And show just a quick video here to show you what we built for them. So what we did was we basically were inspired by the idea of like tabletop games. We built this holographic map object, which you're seeing there is the downtown Washington, D.C. National Mall area. We started to experiment with doing user interface controls along the side of it. And you can imagine people being able to stand around the map either in the same room or they could be in different locations, being able to share things in there. But then we thought what would be really cool and what you definitely can't do with a printed map is jump inside that map and then start to explore it. And in this specific use case, it had some value in that people were able to do things like line of sight evaluations, site visits. And again, rather than traveling all to be in one place, could do this remotely. And also, think back to that slide where we saw the physical map that was built. That was in one location. With something like this, you could take that experience and distribute it anywhere somebody needed to have access to that information. So what we want to do next is sort of talk about some of the, you know, what we learned along the way and some tips for people who are getting into mixed reality, some of the things that really helped us get up and running in a very short period of time. First off, brainstorm everything. We started with a traditional Post-it slam. Are people familiar with this? Actually, how many people here have done a Post-it slam to explore an idea here? Great. We did the exact same thing we basically sat down, we told, you know, we just said, think wild, think big, think anything you might want to do with this application. And then we brought it in. We started to sort them out just like you would with any other Post-it slam exercise. And what we did here too is we brought in as many people as we could. We brought in the stakeholders, we brought in analysts, we brought in, you know, people that would be doing this out in the field, and we brought in our designers and developers to work together and to brainstorm these things. And probably the most important thing about this process and what made it unique to the HoloLens, one of our key takeaways from HoloLens Academy was with every single idea, we would ask the question, you know, when we got to that consolidating phase, we would ask, why is this better on the HoloLens? Why would this not be, you know, good as a mobile app, as a website, or on the other end, as fully immersive VR? And really, I don't even want to tell you how many ideas that stopped right there. But what it really helped us do initially was get that focus to what would make a compelling mixed reality HoloLens experience. The next, get physical. And for this, we're talking about going into physical prototyping. 3D design, as something we learned, is very time consuming and very expensive. And then 3D the development, all of this, to build these things out, it's going to take you some time, so you want to get it right. We're going to show you a video here of our prototyping process. And essentially, we took the sort of idea of the National Mall. This is what, you know, we, from that map idea, and started to build it out. Aside from being really, really fun, and I don't even know how much money I've spent on arts and crafts materials in the past few months, but what it really helped us do as designers was break out of a 2D mindset and start thinking about how is this experience going to exist in the world around us. A lot of our early sketches had the feeling of like mobile apps or websites or panels that existed around us. This activity really helped us quickly and cheaply get a sense of what works, what will work here. And actually, one thing I want to note about this wasn't the first round of physical prototyping. This was actually one from much later in the process where we were trying to work out a very specific UI problem. And whenever we would sort of like come into something, we would, you know, deploy it, build it, test it. And then if we found something we wanted to experiment with, we'd bring it back in here. Specifically, we're looking at those controls on the map. We were trying to think of what's going to be more intuitive and feel more natural for people to use. Okay, next up. So next up, the one thing that we did as designers, I went into this with very little Unity experience. It definitely helped me having a lead developer who was extremely well-versed in it, but the first thing I did was I went out to the Unity website, I went to the forums, I went through all the tutorials, I went to the HoloLens Academy tutorials that are on the Microsoft website. There's a ton of great materials out there that if you haven't hit them yet, go check them out, go through them. They've been very well thought out to get you up and running quickly. And then the community forums for both Unity and the HoloLens, definitely get into. They're very active communities, and we definitely found that a lot of the questions we had early on, somebody else had already thought of them. So definitely make use of those communities and those tutorials. What I want to show here is actually what we did in Unity to actually take, you know, that idea, that physical prototype we built. Next thing to do was to then test it inside the device. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. We're not going to really do a Unity tutorial here. But just to get an idea of how quick this is, we just take these basic primitive objects. And so I'm going to make the Washington Monument here. And So what I can do now is I can like basically take these primitive objects, deploy them to the HoloLens, and get a sense, does this really work, before we then go through the whole pipeline of 3D design and development. And really, everything that I did to create these prototypes, I could do with the most basic tutorials on both the Unity and the HoloLens websites. And the next step, as another design consideration, and this was something that for both developers and designers, you know, there's a whole new level of immersion when we're designing experiences that exist around us. One of the things we found was that even with, like, you know, as we were working to get really high polygon count models into the HoloLens and make it, you know, perform at 30 frames per second or higher, we would come up with some of these like really dramatic shots that were really interesting, but they still felt like they were missing something. So we went out and we got a relatively inexpensive spatial audio recorder. This is a little device that records 4 channels of audio, and very quickly deployed it into the HoloLens. And one thing that we found, we went to test it, people, when they would put it on, they actually started to look around more. They would hear things happening around them, and it inspired them. So one of the things that Microsoft talks about is magic moments in mixed reality where people just, you know, get lost in the experience. That ability to jump in the map was one of them, and adding this audio to it really took that to the next level, where it's not uncommon for us to see people's jaws drop when they actually jump inside that map and look around and see things at scale around them. And so then finally, use Holo Toolkit and build your own toolkit. One of the things that we found, we started, again, about 3 or 4 months ago working on this project, the Holo Toolkit came out with several iterations. A lot of the things that we built in our own toolkit were in the next version of it when it came out. But that said, it definitely helps to extend the toolkit for things that are custom built for you. In our case, we wanted to use Unity as a rapid prototyping tool. The things that we used as 2D designers to build fully functional interactive prototypes don't work for mixed reality, but Unity does. Unity becomes that prototyping environment for us. And what I want to show today is something that our developers put together to help us as designers build interactive prototypes with the new sort of UI patterns that really helped us explore interfaces and create really compelling experiences. So let me see here. Okay, so this is the Unity file for our concept demo. And what I'm going to do here is show you how this custom script, an object that our developers put together in this prototyping toolkit that we, for our own purposes, helped me as a designer really think through the interfaces of these experiences. In particular, voice commands. You definitely find that voice plays a huge role in how people will navigate and interact with an experience. So the first thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to make the map active. And so you can see our virtual downtown Washington, D.C. area. And what I want to do is, has anybody here been to the Botanical Gardens in Washington, D.C.? It's a very cool spot. Next, if you're ever in town, it's definitely something I recommend visiting. What I want to do in here, there's actually a very good view here of the Capitol from the rooftops there. So what I want to do is add a spot in here where a user could jump automatically to that point, to teleport to that spot. And in particular, I want to make sure that where they're looking, and I want to make it is exactly where, you know, they when they first come into that experience, I want it to be very curated to you know, for maximum impact. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a component. It's one we've called point of interest. And I'm going to give it a name. We're going to call it Botanical Garden. And what this component does, the way that it's built into the toolkit, is it automatically makes whatever I put in there will become the voice command. Like, honestly, the thought of trying to custom program a voice command to me as a designer is a little bit terrifying. I can't even tell you how much time this saved me and how much flexibility it gave me in being able to visualize these experiences. Okay, so we've got our Botanical Garden thing there. And what we need to do is now take the script and drag it over. And what's going to happen now is I'm going to hit play. So I want to test it. You know, rather than going through the process of deploying, you know, packaging it, deploying to the HoloLens, putting it on, going to the experience, seeing if it worked, I just want to like visualize: is this the view that I want when it first comes up? So I'm going to hit play, It'll take a second to load up. And so what we did was we made it possible so that the voice command that we just created, you'll notice here down at the bottom, it's now added go to botanical garden from the thing they put in there. And now if I want to test this command, I can do click on debug force fire, and bam, instantly teleports there. So now I could look at this and say, you know, I love this shot just because it kind of shows the roof and you know what's in the horizon. But if it wasn't quite right, I could go back into Unity, I could tweak it, I could adjust it. And, you know, but the most important takeaway here is that as a designer, I was able to do this without having to know a single bit of code. The way that we built the toolkit empowered that interaction with design. And so one thing I would definitely challenge developers to do is to work with your designers, find out what it is that they're, you know, how they're designing these processes, especially early on when they're starting to think in 3D, and think about how can you build these tools into Unity that'll make their lives a whole lot easier. I promise you they'll love you for it. So in summary, you want to say, first and foremost, we followed a process here that was recommended, or, you know, that was part of the HoloLens Academy curriculum to go from initial concept all the way through to delivery, and we found it to be extremely effective, starting with brainstorming, and brainstorming with a specific focus of what will highlight the benefits of mixed reality. Next, prototype early and often. We spent, you know, I would say the majority of our time in prototyping to really get the experience down, and go back to physical prototyping when you really need to think through a problem that may not be working. Some of the biggest breakthroughs happen once you take that step away and start to really like manipulate the objects by hand. Get involved with the community forums, ton of great resources out there, and look for those subtle details like 360 audio that will really add to your immersive experience. That when you actually put the device on and you start to find those little details, it'll really take your experiences to the next level. And more importantly, it'll have more impact to your users. Keep an eye out for updates to the Holo Toolkit. It gets updated very frequently. And there's a very good chance that it can solve problems you may not even know you have yet. And finally, have your designers and developers work in very close proximity to each other and stay in constant communication with each other. Understanding each other's workflows will speed up your time to getting really high quality experiences a lot faster. So for next steps, check out the Holographic Academy, check out the Windows Mixed Reality Developer Forums, check out the Unity community. All three of these resources will be tremendously helpful. And if you'd like to see the demo we built, come by the Bytecube booth at number 103. We have taken our demo that we built for our partner and turned it into a scavenger hunt of the Washington, D.C. area. And we'd love to show it to you and ask you if you have any questions about it. We would be happy to answer them. Thank you.